Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Would you join me in standing and showing appreciation and honor to Pastor Dave Postal as he comes to bring the Word of God today?
Thank you, and it's so good to see you here this morning and those of you that are online. It's a real privilege to be able to come and just share with you a little bit of my journey and story. And I have just totally been blessed by just the worship this morning. The songs were really speaking to my heart, and I trust you as well. I just want to make a comment about our military, and I know we've spent some time on that. This coming Wednesday, I will be having just the opportunity once again to gather at the graveside of one of our young men who was killed in Afghanistan. His family's part of our church, and that was Andrew Eichlenboom back in 2006, and we had his memorial service here. And every year for the last many years, we've gathered on Remembrance Day. And it just really keeps it personal when we honor someone who's been very close to us. And if his mother and father are watching online today, we just want to bless you and honor you guys today as well. Oh, they're right here. Okay, there you are, Maureen. I didn't realize you were here. So, well, I won't take that back, but... Anyway, it is just a privilege, and I want to thank Pastor Mike and Laura as well for their willingness to come and just take a huge chance, a risk to come and lead us and serve us here as a church, and I'm proud to be able to call him my pastor, and it's just a real honor to have you guys part of my life. I don't know how many of you saw the Facebook Live last Wednesday where Pastor Mike and Laura got to share their love story. How many of you in the room got to see that? Wasn't that amazing? And those of you that didn't, you can go back on the church Facebook page and you can actually watch it and just, you get a little sense of who they are as people and their character and just how their journey actually began. I don't know about you, but I love stories. So that will be better than wasting your time on some Harlequin thing or whatever. But there you go. Check it out. And then one more thing before I actually get into speaking, sharing today. I'm blown away by your generosity. And I just want to thank you for the way that you have chosen to honor my wife, who just over a year ago went home to be with Jesus. And the last time I actually spoke in this church was a year ago in November, and had a chance to kind of share some things that were going on in my heart at that point, and today it will be a little bit of an update, I guess. But when I learned about this Barb Postal Memorial Kitchen Fund, I was thinking about Barb and just how that she probably, you know, if she was to know personally about it, she'd likely be blushing a little bit because she preferred the background scene. And but I I also want to say, if we could hear her voice speaking today, she would probably be saying, "Well, what, you know, it's about time, you know, like finally they're getting it done." So let's just keep on that along with the other projects, and even as Pastor Mike has shared recently, how important it is to keep these projects attached to the vision. We're not just fixing up a kitchen. We are wanting to expand the vision and see that carried out. So thank God for these tools. And so this morning I want to pick up the series that Pastor Mike started a few weeks ago on Jesus. Jesus always our vision. And no matter what happens in the days ahead, it's really important that we be reminded that ultimately it all comes back to Jesus being our vision and letting him direct how we carry out that vision. Mike asked if I would speak on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And it's a privilege to be able to share this because in so many ways I have experienced the Prince of Peace very much at work in my life this past year. And I want to begin with the scripture, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. And it'll be on the screen in front of you. We're basically coming out of the prophetic words of Isaiah as he was speaking and looking into the future, and prophetically the Messiah would come. These were the words that were penned and that we often refer to at Christmas time, but they speak to us today. For to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. How many would say this morning that that's a good word just in itself? And it's interesting, we've just come through a very, very dramatic U.S. election. And I think it's really important that we, as God's people, take the command of Scripture seriously and pray for our leaders, even if they're not directly our leaders, but to actually be praying for the new president-elect as he takes this role. But the point I want to make just before I move on, I love this word. It says, of the greatness of his government, heaven's government. You know what? We don't have to make heaven great again. How many know it's always been great and it will always be great? And that's just something that we can rest in. That's the government authority that ultimately we are under this morning. And I think we can just give God praise for that. And the Bible says that his peace, there will be no end. There is no division in heaven. And no matter where we come from or what perspective we come from, those of us who follow Jesus Christ, heaven will be the perfect place of unity. And we can give thanks to God for that. And so I want to just say that what's so amazing about these beautiful names that have been made reference to Jesus, including the name Prince of Peace, is that this year I have personally experienced the blessings and the benefits that are embedded in this name. I've, in so many ways this past year, have experienced what it has meant to have Jesus, my Wonderful Counselor. I am so grateful. And you know what? I don't even have to make an appointment. I don't even have to have a teleconference visit with Jesus. He is always available as my counselor. I've experienced him as my mighty God. I've experienced him as my everlasting Father, who is always good. No matter what the circumstances may tell us, he's a good father. He's kind and he's loving. And his faithfulness, the Bible says, is new every morning. And I've again and again this year, I've been overwhelmed by the Prince of Peace. And that word peace comes out of the Hebrew word that many of us today are familiar with, shalom. Shalom. It's a greeting that Jewish people speak to one another on a daily basis. It's like our hi or how are you. But in their case, that word shalom in the Hebrew language actually speaks of something beautiful in that it speaks of wholeness. It speaks of being in harmony with God and harmony with one another. And I want to just say this year, I have experienced, and I'll say more about it as we move along, I've experienced the wholeness of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and what he's done in my life this year. When your heart has been broken and ripped apart, it's amazing how the presence of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, slowly, and it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but he begins to put the pieces of our broken heart back together again. And many of you here this morning and online have experienced what that means, where he begins to put your broken heart back together. It's been in the midst of oftentimes, especially in the early days, and oftentimes over the last few months as well, where the rawness of grief and the waves of lament come over you. It's in those times that I personally have experienced the Prince of Peace coming alongside. Coming alongside and walking with me, counseling me, giving me strength, at times carrying me and reminding me of his constant presence. I think that's one thing I've become more and more aware of this year, is how beautiful the presence of God is, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. What's so amazing as well is, and I have to give this to you as a testimony of where my heart is right now, is how your heart begins to feel well and whole again. Someone asked me recently, "How's your heart, Dave?" And I had to say, I don't understand it and I can't explain it, but I feel like my heart is coming alive again. And there's no other explanation, and I call it a miracle, other than the work of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Prince of Peace, at work in my life. And so this morning I want to share with you, just for a few minutes, of a few hopefully practical the things that maybe you can take away, apply in your own situation, things that I have been personally learning about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You might even want to write some things down. If you're at home, grab a piece of paper. These might be some things that you can tuck in your Bible somewhere and make reference back to. The first thing I want to say that I've learned is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, welcomes our greatest questions of life. You know, let's face it, it's hard to understand why certain things happen the way they do. And I would say that probably the greatest question or the most common question that people ask is, why? You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a toddler learning to walk or talk, and mommy or daddy says something, and they tell you to do something, and that little child, one of their very first questions is, why? How many know what I'm talking about this morning? But it's a huge question that so many of us ask when it comes to the things that happen in our lives or in our world. Why does God allow certain things to happen? Why does God allow suffering and pain and sorrow? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does God take someone's life or allows, not necessarily takes, but allows someone to be taken who just seemed to be in the prime of their potential? Many of you know, and I won't get into it, my two 17-year-old nephews were taken from this earth a few years ago, killed in a bobsled accident, twin brothers in Calgary. And our family, our hearts, and his family, even to this day, are still in the process of being healed because of that horrible accident. Why is it that a young mother left with five children, after the love of her life was taken just a year and a half ago? Husband taken in the prime of his life, from cancer? Why is it that a newborn baby is found lying motionless in its crib? And years ago, right in this building, I had to walk that family through their loss. And I know for me, one of the major questions, especially early on, has been, why is it that some things just don't make sense? Have you ever asked that question? That's been my question again and again this past year. But getting back to this point, Jesus welcomes our questions. And I grew up at a time where, and it's probably just my own fault, but I somehow had this idea that if we were to ask God questions, it somehow was kind of a sign of weakness of our faith. Oh, you don't dare ask God a question. But I want you to know something this morning, is that the Bible is actually filled with people who ask questions. Even Jesus himself that we're going to be remembering today here on this Communion Sunday. What was one of the greatest questions that Jesus asked when he hung on the cross? He said, why? Why, oh God, have you forsaken me? I don't know, but that just the fact that Jesus himself asked that question that came out of his humanity, it just says that God in our humanity allows us to ask questions. We see it in the Psalms. David in Psalm 13, you know, the guy who was the man after God's own heart. We see that David wrestled again and again with his questions. Psalm 13, he says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long? And what you have on your screen is just a few samples of the questions that David asked. How long must I wrestle, David said. And you know, one of the gifts of lament that I've learned is the opportunity, the gift that we have to be able to wrestle with our emotions and to allow our emotions and our feelings and to be able to wrestle with God with these questions, and he welcomes them. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Verse 3, he says, look on me and answer, Lord. David is asking for an answer. But you know what's really interesting? As you read through the psalm, and you can check it out at home, God never gives David an answer. A lot of people today are asking questions like, how long is this COVID thing going to last? Have you asked that question recently? Have you wondered it? They talk about COVID fatigue. I feel like the freest man in this place today because I don't have a mask on. But how long is this all going to take? You know what? Some of you are in a situation right now, and you're asking that question. You're asking God, how long am I going to have to go through what I'm going through? How long am I going to have to wait? How long until I see that son or that daughter that's away from Jesus? I'm praying for them to come home. How long is it going to take? You could fill in the blanks with your how long. Or with your why. The interesting thing here is I was reading this psalm, Psalm 13. As I said, God doesn't give any answer. And I don't even know if David expected an answer. But the beautiful thing in this psalm is when he comes to verse 5, he says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. So here's something I've learned about asking God questions. Is that I believe, because I think I've experienced this, that when we ask our questions, they are actually good for our soul. There's just something about saying, God, why? It's really just a cry of our heart. It's, God, how long? It's really a cry of our heart. And what it does is it opens up our heart. And you know what happens? The beautiful presence of the Prince of Peace, the presence of God, is given an opportunity to come rushing in. The very point that we're saying, God, why? God, how long? The fact that we are acknowledging God with our questions and our cries opens the door for His presence and His beautiful peace to come rushing in. And so I've learned that I don't have to have an answer to my questions, but I can trust Him even in the midst. The second thing, and I need to move along quickly here, the second thing is that the Prince of Peace guards our heart in our darkest hours. Some of you this morning, either in this room or online, you are in the midst of what I call the dark night of the soul. I want you to know that right now, the Lord is actually being drawn to you. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 34 and verse 18. It says, and the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Isn't that awesome? The Lord is close. In fact, God, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is actually attracted to your broken heart. He's attracted to you. Your broken heart, your struggle, your fears and worries, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is actually drawn to you. He's attracted to our weaknesses. He's attracted to our feelings of hopelessness and despair. I was thinking about this because I heard that scripture given to me again and again in those early days, and I was so appreciative of it because my heart was broken. And I was thinking about it as I was preparing this message, Pastor Mike. My question, I often ask God questions like, so God, if you're close to the brokenhearted, what are you doing? That's a good question. Like, that's a good question, right? If He's close to us, what is He doing? He's not just sort of like a passive bystander. That was the one thing I ruled out. He's actually involved with our broken heart. And as this point says, He's guarding. He's protecting. He's tending our hearts. He's surrounding our hearts. I just thought of this morning, actually. He's actually just giving us a big hug. And I think one of the COVID things, that how many times have we heard people say, I just need a hug. We've taken for granted the value of the human touch. And I just want to say this morning, those of you, whether online or here today with a broken heart, the Lord is close to you. And He just wants to wrap His arms around you and give you a giant, wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace hug. Aren't you glad this morning that God doesn't social distance with us? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, it says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So here's what the Lord is doing. The Lord is near. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's surrounding us. He's protecting us. He's guarding us. And he is wrapping us up in his peace, the Bible says, that passes, transcends, exceeds our understanding. I've learned this a long time ago, and I've experienced it again and again this year. You know when I asked that question? Why is it that some things just don't make sense? Good question. But I've learned that, and I've learned that I don't have to have an answer to my questions. But I've learned that God's peace, the Prince of Peace, is real. And I can have that peace even when I haven't got a clue why certain things have happened. It exceeds my understanding. And so, the Lord is close. He's guarding our hearts. He's healing our hearts. And he's making them whole again. Peace speaks about wholeness and harmony. You know what? Jesus, the great physician, not only does he heal physical bodies, but he heals broken hearts. Can you say amen to that? He heals and he restores and he renews and he rekindles hope. And I'm a living example this morning of that miraculous work of the Prince of Peace healing my heart this morning. And so, moving along, thirdly, Jesus gives us courage. The Prince of Peace gives us courage to trust God with our future. Some of you know the story. My wife and I, we were just camping with the grandkids, just out at Kitty Coleman Campground. She was feeling a little bit nauseous and so on the last couple of days. Short story was, we came home from the campsite, and the very next day, she ended up in the emergency ward in the hospital. They found a massive tumor in her body that had gone undetected. She was the healthy one in our family. It just was completely, I mean, it had been there likely for a long time, but nobody knew. And I remember we got the first diagnosis thinking that, okay, we'll figure this one out. But the afternoon that the surgeon came in and began to share with us what was happening, the more he shared, there wasn't one option that he shared that had any sense of hope attached to it. And I can remember just getting overwhelmed by what I was hearing, and it wasn't good. And not too many people know this part of the story, but there was a couch at the end of the bed that my wife was laying on, doctor on one side, a nurse on the other side, sharing the news and the prognosis and our options. Not one of them was hopeful. And I'm sitting there on that couch, and the next thing you know, I passed out because I was so traumatized and overwhelmed by what I was hearing. And I heard after, my wife actually, they said, Barb actually said, pointed at the doctor and pointed at the nurse and said, I think he's the one that needs help right now. You know, the nurse came out in her. And you know what? It's true. I needed a ton of help, and so did she. But right away, talking about courage and courage to trust God with our future, as we began to come to grips with what we were learning, in the following days, God's word started to become very, very real and personal. God began to remind us of his promises of hope and peace, including scriptures like Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, where it says, and he makes all things beautiful in his time. And again, we began to quote that scripture and began to believe it. And somehow, God, we don't know what's going on. We can't see the future very far. But somehow, God, you're going to use this. We have no idea how. But you do. This is your promise. And many, many nights, Barb would go off to sleep with those words, with both of us whispering to each other, and he will make all things beautiful in his time. And God began to strengthen courage in us for the future. Another scripture that God gave us so much courage was from Romans 15, 13, where it says, and may the God of hope, everyone say hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. One of the things we began to really focus in on was that we are filled with the God of hope. And one night, it was actually kind of cute, I was in the room, and I could hear Barb. She was, toward the end especially, her voice was quite weak, but I could hear her whispering these words, I'm filled with the God of hope. And she had her eyes closed, and I'm filled with the God of hope. I'm filled with the God of hope. And I quickly pulled out my cell phone, and I still have it on my phone, the video of her saying, I'm filled with the God of hope. I'm filled with the God of hope. And just those words inspired us. You know, her hope, she knew what her hope was. She knew eternity was going to be welcoming her home shortly. And I've had to hold on to that myself personally over the years, or over this past year. It's the God of hope that helps us to trust him with our future. I mentioned earlier about a young mom, single mom of 5 children, who a year and a half ago lost her husband to a prolonged battle of cancer. And I don't know about you, but I'm actually drawn to stories like that now, probably more than ever. And something that she wrote on her social media page, she was considering, she mentioned that a lot of people ask her questions. What am I going to do? And she was often being asked that question. In her words, her answer was this, I think I will just keep prioritizing my kids, my 5 kids, and trust God for my future. And I thought, what a great word. And where does that courage come from? That courage to trust God comes from that hope that is within her. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, whoever you are, online or in this room, you can trust God. You can trust Jesus, the Prince of Peace, with your life and with your future. And it might only be just to take the next step. Sometimes all we need is courage to take the next step. And that might be all we can see is the next step. And finally, this morning, as we move into communion, the last thing I want to share with you, and along with our questions and along with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, guarding our heart and giving us courage to trust him, the Prince of Peace invites us to come to him as we are. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 33, a scripture that we're so familiar with, so many of us. And I love, it's the invitation of Jesus. He said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He welcomes us this morning. He welcomes us to come as we are, the Prince of Peace, to come with our broken hearts, to come with our pain, to come with our questions, to come with our sins and our failures and our mistakes. He says, come. I've learned as well that Jesus will never turn anyone away if we are willing to come as we are. And he has a beautiful gift for us that we are celebrating today in communion. Jesus, in John 14, said, "Peace, peace, I leave with you. My peace, not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you." In John 16, he said, "I've told you these things so that in me, Jesus said, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." We've all experienced this world has a lot of trouble. That's why we can't depend on the solutions that the world is offering to us today. But it's in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, our vision, that we have peace. He said, "Take heart." Jesus is saying, "I want to put courage into your heart. I want to put hope into your heart. I want you to believe again. You might be far from God. You might feel like I've walked away from God. I've wandered." I loved one of those songs we sang earlier, that the wanderer can come home and experience once again what it means to have peace. Not just the peace of God, but to have peace with God, to be in harmony with God, to be in completeness with God, to have our relationship with God through Jesus Christ made whole again. And that's my invitation to you this morning. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever circumstance you are in, to come to Jesus. He welcomes you, and he is our hope this morning. And we get to have the Prince of Peace living and ruling and reigning in our hearts. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor Mike.
Bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.